he was on like a year ago saying, this group kills people, and if Trump really goes for disclosure, I think you're going to see a lot of death. Well, now it's official U.S. government study. Like, why? They're saying it's 11 scientists. Folks, it's hundreds. But it's people over gravitic control. It's not anti-gravity, folks. It's gravity manipulation, gravity control. And it's people involved with the secret space program, all of it. And they're saying, they're coming to kill me. They told me they are, and they're dead.
This dude, this katana-wielding dude, made a really big deal about, he was like, okay, listen to me. It's been independently discovered 4 other times. He said it's been suppressed every other time. This time, they're waiting for someone to publish. They're ready. And on the other side of the fence, there's multiple parties looking at each other like, didn't we tell this bitch 3 years ago that we kill people for this? Is she not listening? What is she doing? She's still doing it? What? We told her we were going to kill her 3 years ago. So I have these two, different scenarios floating constantly in my life where I have people being like, do it, do it, do it. You're the one, do it. And then I have multiple people being like, they're going to kill you. Don't do it.
Every day that I have on earth is a gift and a blessing. And I'm very grateful for that because frankly, people are disappearing. Scientists are going missing. Now they're saying they're going to investigate this. The president himself is saying they're going to look into this and see if anything's going on. It's a little bit scary. I got to say, it's a little bit scary, but you guys knew that I might still show up even though it was last minute and I've had a really rough week. Like, you know, that's kind of like every week, but somehow we keep on making it through all of this.
Daniel List, we've had prominent UFO researchers commit suicide in the last few days and die. We have all these scientists dying. We have all these Chinese scientists dying. You're a very credible, prominent guy. I'm not trying to be dramatic here, but if you started to get a little bit of your skin crawling, a little bit concerned yourself. Again, you know me, I'm not a dramatic guy with you personally, but I just wanted to ask that question up front. Hope you don't mind it. Are you getting a little creeped out here?
There's no question about it. And it's great to be back with you, Alex. I do want to actually spotlight that when you took on the UFO issue and started speaking about the secret space program, I noted a genuine uptick, and I mean serious uptick in your legal issues. And I noted it back sometime back in 2017, way back there.
Trump orders a real investigation, so he sends out investigators, and then all the key people die. It's pretty obvious.
There's no question about it. And I will say that, you know, Trump going on the record right there in February and saying we're going to release all of these records pertaining to the UFO file was gigantic.
To begin releasing government files relating to UFOs and unexplained aerial phenomena. And I figured this was a good crowd because I know you people, you're really into that. I don't know if I am, but you... So I'm pleased to report today. I thought I'd save it for this crowd because you're a little bit out there, you know, a little bit. That this process is well underway and we found many very interesting documents, I must say. And the first releases will begin very, very soon. So you can go out and see if that phenomena is correct. You'll figure it out. Let me know.
We do know that General McCasland was well respected by people who were pushing for UAP disclosure, including very senior people in Hillary Clinton's campaign back in 2016. We know he was planning to disclose UAP secrets in what was expected to be a Clinton presidency. And it's really interesting that this follows so closely, his disappearance follows so closely on the heels of President Trump's announcement that he was intending to declassify UFO files, a promise, by the way, which the president hasn't followed up on yet.
It was huge, and we saw it was, you know, interfered with by Obama, so we know that something strange was going on the inside.
Are aliens real?
They're real, but I haven't seen them, and they're not being kept in, what is it?
Area 51.
Area 51. There's no underground facility, unless there's this enormous conspiracy, and they hid it from the President of the United States.
What was the first question you wanted answered when you became president?
Where are the aliens?
Where are the aliens?
And then in the background there, you had a number of people who were silently being moved off the stage and eliminated. But I've also seen how this works directly. You know, we're talking about DOD billionaires hanging out in the background, hardware manufacturers, defense contractors. And if you have that stroke of history, when you look across it, you can see presidents warning about this through generations from Eisenhower, Reagan.
want to make a massive announcement right now. I mean, this is just bonker town. What it does is just... I feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you. Ultra Methylene Blue.
I know. Blue. I love it. This stuff works, man.
I just can't shut up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. I mean, this is just bonker town.
I know. I love it.
I just can't shut up about it. Methylene Blue. I just can't shut up about it.
This stuff works, man.
Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. It is just beyond spectacular.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Tuesday morning here from the InfoWars headquarters, Central Command, here in Austin, Texas. Very glad you are with us today, of course. Just too much news, just more news than we could ever possibly get to. We're going to try to break it all down. One of the reasons I have a lot of news, or like a lot of videos to get to today, pulled in 65 different videos today. And they're on a bunch of different topics. We're going to talk about Ukraine. We're going to talk about the war in Iran. Of course, some changes occurring there that are worthy of note. But I also have a collection of videos that all, I think, present a pretty interesting argument, I guess you could say. I got a bunch of videos of left-wingers reacting viscerally to left-wing policies. And we'll go over it here in just a second. And I don't know why it happened. These all happened to arrive today. But I've got a lot of videos of left-wingers who all sort of have an intrinsic, and it's what we talk about forever. It's like when we first said that we thought that the vaccine would lead to vaccine mandates, and everybody's response was like, oh my God, no way, no, never. We would never do that. Mandates for vaccines? Are you crazy? You must be crazy for saying that. And then give it a couple months, and it's like, yeah, you got it. It's a mandate now. No, it's mandated. It's for your health, and you're killing grandma if you disagree. But that first initial reaction, that instinctual, reflexive reaction, was the right one. That was the correct one. It takes a lot of like wearing people down to a point when they overcome that initial knee-jerk appropriate reaction to the things they propose. So it's a lot of similar stuff like that, where if you just tell the left what it is they support, they're like, oh my God, no, absolutely not. We would never. And it's like, it's right here in your manifesto. It's the first line. I'm not even kidding. I have a quote today. I have a video today. That is exactly what happens. A right-winger says, you know, the left-wing supports open borders. And left-winger's like, open borders? Absolutely not. That is insane. I would never support that. And then the guy goes, here's your party's manifesto. The first line is, we dream of a world without borders, you crazy lady. This is how they all are. You just present them with the actual reality of what they support, and they start to squirm. And boy, we're going to see some squirming today. I've got like a lot of videos all aligned with this one topic. It's really kind of fascinating. We'll get to all of that. We'll get to the indictments that have come down. Again, I'm seeing this increase, this uptick of the Trump administration trying desperately to look like they're doing something. They're clearly getting the poll numbers, the same ones that we are, that show that the Trump administration has achieved its lowest support of all time. The major nationwide polls for the first time today flipped so badly that the Democrats may actually take the Senate and not just the House this year. James Tallarico is now outperforming both Republican candidates for Senate here in Texas. And what did you expect when you took all of our votes and then betrayed us? I think it's all actually a part of a wider plan. I'm going to try to put that argument together through today's show as well. But we got a lot of stories to cover. Let's just get into it. Here it is, your Daily Dispatch.
Daily Dispatch.
right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Tuesday, the 28th of April, 2026. Justice Department indicts former FBI Director James Comey for a second time. Former FBI Director James Comey was indicted Tuesday over a photo of seashells officials said threatened President Donald Trump, marking the administration's second attempt to prosecute one of his largest political opponents, three sources first told CNN. The indictment was brought in the Eastern District of North Carolina, according to multiple sources familiar with the matter. Trump has long pressed for his political adversaries to face charges, including former FBI director he sees as a key leader in the perceived effort to weaponize the justice system against him, which, of course, he was. Now, what they're charging him for, what they're centering this case around, I suppose, is that Instagram post that James Comey put up with the seashells saying 8647. Everybody knows what 8647 means. 86, kill, 47, the president. That's obviously what it means. James Comey knows that's what it means. His excuse was ridiculous. He was just like, I didn't know what it meant. I just liked how the seashells looked. Utterly ridiculous, totally absurd. And yeah, it was an obvious call for violence, for an assassination against Donald Trump. And so, good, yes, the former FBI agent should not be allowed to issue calls to assassinate the president. I would think that would be a bare minimum requirement for anybody in that position. However, I think he's committed a lot more crimes than that, okay? And I don't know. I don't have a lot. I mean, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see, I guess. I guess they got the indictment, so that's something. I just have a feeling that he can say, well, I didn't know what it meant. I just thought it was shells. And it's like, how are you going to prove otherwise? I don't know. You get discovery and see his text messages about it. Maybe you can find something there. But I would like to see him go down for the leaking that he did and the weaponizing of the government against Donald Trump and other average American citizens and the lying under oath to Congress and the, again, weaponizing the whole spy state apparatus, helping to get FISA warrants for American citizens for a political purpose. That all seems to be like a lot bigger of a deal to me, but I'll take it. I'll take what we can get. And if we can indict James Comey for threatening to kill the president of the United States, I think that's it's a bare minimum type of thing we could achieve. That's great. Meanwhile, former senior NIAID official indicted for concealing federal records during the COVID-19 pandemic. These allegations represent a profound abuse of trust at a time when the American people needed it most during the height of the global pandemic, said Acting Attorney General Todd Blanche. As alleged in the indictment, Dr. Marins and his co-conspirators deliberately concealed information and falsified records in an effort to suppress alternative theories regarding the origins of COVID-19. Government officials have a solemn duty to provide honest, well-grounded facts and advice in service of the public interest, not to advance their own personal or ideological agendas. Again, another great thing, you know, maybe we're working our way up to Anthony Fauci, and that would be wonderful to see. Once again, I feel like the lie, the cover-up, the manipulation certainly was a crime, certainly provided for, you know, the misapplication of corrective measures when it came to the virus, which itself probably resulted in death. So, you know, this might want to be upgraded to some sort of like accessory to murder charge. But just like we say over and over again, lies exist in service of a crime. Yes, the lie is a crime, but it only exists to cover up a different crime. The actual crime was the fact that they made the virus in a lab and then released it on purpose. Okay, that's what I would love to see these people charged for. The lying was to cover up that initial crime and the knowledge that they had about it. So, again, very good to see. I just and withholding celebration until I actually see these guys in handcuffs, because we've been through this before. Meanwhile, King Charles promotes US-UK unity in speech to Congress amid Iran tensions. King Charles visited here. He told the US Congress on Tuesday that despite an age of uncertainty and conflict in Europe and in the Middle East, the UK and the US will always be staunch allies, united in defending democracy at a time of deep division between the two long-time allies over the war with Iran. I, of course, think now that he's here, we should keep him. I think we should keep him. I think we should throw him in jail, personally, for all of the crimes that he's committed against the British people, or that if he's allowed to have been committed against his people during his time in power, but I'm not holding out hope for that either. I'm not holding hope out for that either. But I do think the people of Britain deserve and warrant our protection and involvement in kind of exactly the same way. And I don't even agree with it when it came to Syria, but kind of like a Syria-type situation. We have kind of a Syria-type situation in the UK. And just like America, funneled guns to, you know, radical separatist groups in Syria who are not fans of and would do violence against the ruling regime. I think the UK is in a very similar position. Only the people of the UK are actually being killed by their government. They're actually being replaced wholesale in a genocidal fashion. So that was never the case in Syria, obviously. That was just a geopolitical matter in order to give Israel the breathing room to kill all of their neighbors. But in the case of the UK, I think there's a legitimate case to be made that the people of the UK and Ireland and really every country in Europe deserve America, deserve and really require Americans to be running guns to them so they can free themselves from the shackles of so-called democracy that are killing them. And yeah, we'll get back into that in a little bit. Meanwhile, U.S. pump prices near four-year high on Iran war disruption, refinery outages, and I imagine they just forgot to mention this. I mean, I'll add it for them here. Mostly it's the podcasters. Mostly I think this is the podcasters whose fault this is. I know, you know, you're out there, you're filling up at the pump, you're seeing those numbers tick up, you're seeing the $4 plus on the sign, and you're thinking, those damn podcasters, if they just shut up already, if they just shut up and go along with the Iran war, I wouldn't be paying more for gas. It's probably those podcasters' fault, like Mark Levin keeps telling me. We're sorry, folks. It's us. It's us podcasters who desperately tried to prevent the war in Iran and have been arguing against the war in Iran since it started. It is actually our fault that the gas prices are high, so you can blame that one on us. And of course, former Fauci advisor indicted for allegedly concealing COVID-19 records, as we laid out earlier. I think I'm missing one. There was another, the other big, you know, indictment thing that's happening today is that apparently the DOJ is going after all of the Somali scam artists in Minnesota and is arresting people who run the Quality Leering Center, amongst other places. So these three things, the NIAID, James Comey, and the fraudsters, I think are good moves. And they are, you know, they would have been really powerful, solid, good moves in, let's say, February of last year. This is exactly what Donald Trump should have been doing in February of last year. It's good to see it happening now, but would have been better to see it over a year ago. And again, I just can't help but notice that gas is exploding and the polls are tanking and the Republican Party is fracturing, and their solution to this is to try to throw us some bones here. I'm not buying it personally. Once I see James Comey in handcuffs, once I see Dr. Marin's rotting away in a jail cell, once I see Anthony Fauci brought down and given a due punishment for the crimes against humanity that he helped oversee, then I'll be, you know, willing to, you know, feel like something is being achieved here. But as of yet, I see a lot of very attractive hot air. But so far, that's what we're working with. We can get some more details on this. Go to clip number 16 here. This is a Fox News report about James Comey having been indicted by a grand jury for his blatant death threat against the president of the United States. Let's watch.
Has indicted former FBI Director James Comey for a second time. Our Justice correspondent David Spence got the story. He's here in Washington. Hey, David, they're going to go at it again.
John, they're going at it again, not even a year after they went at it after the first time. We're told this via several law enforcement sources. We're told this is related to an Instagram post from the former FBI director last year. When he posted on the beach, you may remember there was a formation of shells that said 8647 that were in that pairing of 86-47, and he said something along the lines of, isn't this a curious formation that I just found while walking on the beach? Well, critics to that post immediately pointed out that 86, at least in the restaurant world, means to get rid of or to kill something from a menu, 47 meaning the 47th president of the United States. So Comey did speak with the Secret Service, did speak with federal investigators at the time. He was interviewed last spring or early last summer, shortly after that happened. No charges were ever filed, but now it appears that he has been indicted today. We're working to learn more about the indictment. We're waiting to see if officials have anything to say on this. That is the post that you see right there, Cool Shell Formation on My Beach Walk, from former Director James Comey. Now, you also remember that he was indicted last year as well for allegedly lying to Congress.
The man is a criminal kingpin. So, yes, his blatant threat to the president of the United States. Good. Get him on that, I guess, if that's the easiest thing to get him on. But again, I'll wait till he's in a jail cell to give any credence to this. Meanwhile, we can go to clip number 53 here. This is a video about senior advisor to Anthony Fauci having been indicted for his role in the COVID origin cover-up. This one I'm actually more excited about, because this one really is getting to the heart of the matter. It's just, you have to take it a step further. The lie was in service of the real crime. I'm glad they're being indicted on the lie. But let's get to the crimes against humanity already. It's been 6 years at this point that these crimes were committed. They're getting away with it. These people are getting away with it so far. Hopefully, Dr. Marin's is not. Let's watch clip 53.
Former top advisor to Dr. Anthony Fauci, now facing criminal charges. This over an alleged cover-up involving research into the origins of COVID. Rich Edson on this story. Intriguing, Rich. What you find out there in Washington?
Now, it is, Bill. The Justice Department has charged David Morins, a doctor, with conspiracy, claiming he concealed federal records to counter evidence that COVID-19 may have leaked from a lab in China, all to help restore a controversial coronavirus grant. Morins, a former aide to Dr. Anthony Fauci, testified before the House's COVID Select Subcommittee nearly 2 years ago about emails he'd sent in February 2021, claiming that he'd learned to make emails disappear after he received Freedom of Information Act requests.
Ever delete or attempt to delete a federal record?
No, but let me explain why. When I came there in 1998, we were instructed to delete emails and or to move them into PST files frequently because they jammed the computer.
The Justice Department says Morins used his personal Gmail account to exchange non-public information. The indictment also claims an unnamed co-conspirator gave Morins wine for his, quote, behind-the-scenes shenanigans, then suggested he could push scientific commentary in a prominent medical journal advocating that COVID-19 had natural origins. That's a competing claim with the lab leak theory. The indictment says the co-conspirator could also provide meals at top restaurants in Paris, New York, and Washington, D.C. In April 2020, the NIH terminated that bat coronavirus grant awarded to EcoHealth Alliance, who then contracted the Wuhan Institute of Virology to conduct that research in China. From the start of the pandemic, its president, Peter Daszak, worked to discredit any theory that COVID-19 had leaked from that lab.
Okay. Bill? All right. Thank you, Rich. More to come. Rich Edson on that story from Washington, D.C. Thank you.
So again, just to go back and go over like exactly what was just covered and what they just talked about. Well, and first, from Mike Benz, he posted this, not too smart after all. And this is actually one of the emails from David Marin's to Peter Daszak. P.S. I forgot to say there is no worry about FOIAs. I can either send stuff to Tony on his private Gmail or hand it to him at work or at his home. He's too smart to let colleagues send him stuff that could cause trouble. Right? Yeah, don't, yeah, you know, we're just trying to circumvent FOIAs here. We're, you know, don't worry about the open records laws that mean that we have to be open and public with the American people about what we're doing with their tax dollars. We'll just hide it from them and conceal it. Because Fauci's too smart. He's too smart to let those colleagues send him stuff that could cause trouble. And not too smart to brag about it on email, dumbass. here's the obvious thing. If they didn't know where it came from, they wouldn't have covered up the lab leak. Do you get it? Do you understand? Do you understand if they're doing a murder investigation and they find out that I have the suspect's shoes and I burned them? And it's like, why did you burn? There's no reason to burn the shoes if you didn't know they were the suspects, because you're trying to cover up the crime, right? They wouldn't have had a reason to lie. They wouldn't have had a reason to say it's not the lab leak if they didn't know it was the lab leak. Like, this is the obvious thing. So they know it's a lab leak because they're the ones who run the lab. Now, Peter Daszak, and we've heard from whistleblowers that worked in very close proximity with him personally day to day, and they said that Peter Daszak said that it was the CIA that asked him to do it. And remember, Event 201, the practice session held in October of 2019, the entire thing was focused on how do we control the flow of information? How do we stop speculation about the origin, the virus origin, from getting out there? What if people think that the virus was man-made and that will make them less likely to take the vaccine? And really, this whole thing is about getting people to take the vaccine. So how do we deal with the speculation about the virus being man-made if and when it arrives? They said, totally not knowing that it was happening as they were speaking. So they committed a crime against humanity. They weaponized a virus on purpose. They released it strategically. They collaborated with all of the heads of big tech and media and governments around the world, as well as the WHO and the WEF, to release the virus on purpose, to crash the world economy, to massively consolidate small businesses up into the massive multinational conglomerates. They used the lockdown to get the mail-in ballots that they rigged so they could steal the election from Donald Trump. All of this was planned long before anybody had ever heard coronavirus as a word. And these people were engaged in the cover-up, the abject, blatant, deliberate cover-up of the truth, because it looked bad for them. And because if you'd known the truth, you might not have gone along with the prescriptions that they were trying to force down your throat. The lie is not the crime. The lie is the cover-up of the actual crime, which is a crime against humanity and should be treated like a Nuremberg trial. The stories at InfoWars, former senior advisor to Dr. Anthony Fauci, indicted on criminal charges over COVID cover-up, is ex-NIA head next. Dr. David Marenz, the former NIAID employee and top advisor to the agency's former head, Dr. Anthony Fauci, was indicted on Tuesday for attempting to evade Freedom of Information Act requests in connection to the COVID-19 research grants. So I do hope this goes deeper. I do hope this is just the beginning of a wider, sprawling series of indictments that will culminate with not the cover-up, but the crime itself. Now, again, what Trump is, what else Trump is up to. Quality Learing Center and 20 other Somali-linked businesses raided by FBI Homeland Security in Minnesota. Federal agents from the FBI and Homeland Security executed court-authorized search warrants at more than 20 locations across Minneapolis early Tuesday morning, targeting businesses primarily linked to the Somali American community as part of an ongoing criminal fraud investigation, which is, you know, which is pretty nice to see. You know, I'm not complaining about that, except that, again, it should have happened a lot earlier and with a lot more aggression. And probably shouldn't have been allowed to take place in the first place. But what are we going to use? What are we going to do? Use all of our incredible spy capabilities to actually find and identify crime? No, of course not. We're going to use it to try to destroy Trump and his supporters. Now, I've got a crazy video I'll show you on the other side about Karen Bass, mayor of L.A., who seems to possibly display some foreknowledge of the Palisade fires. A new leaked phone call from her 3 days before the fire has a lot of people asking some very interesting questions. I'll play that on the other side. But here's the reason everything's happening right here. The new Reuters poll shows Trump's approval rating has fallen to the lowest ever.
Everything I sell to you works. Obviously, that's the goal. So that you get it, and you like it, and you want to get it again. Everything I sell to you, we put deep research into, and I personally use. Now, I've been promoting zeolites for decades with great sponsors because they really work. I'm going to tell you what they are. Well, Bigly, our sponsor, has a really high-quality, private-label, top-selling brand that we were able to private label we're bringing to you right now. And with the unprecedented toxins in the environment, with the chemtrailing, all the garbage in the food, it is more important than ever to take zeolites on a regular basis. But not all zeolites are created equal. This is really a high-quality zeolite. Please do your own research. And then go to theoliveshowstore.com and secure our high-quality zeolite formula. Now let's go over just some of the incredible facts. We're swimming in toxins every single day. Metals from the air, chemicals in the food and water. Your body needs help binding and eliminating this garbage before it builds up and destroys your cells. Inner Zeolite Detox Defense, advanced binding agent. This isn't some gimmick. Zeolite is a naturally occurring volcanic mineral with a unique cage-like crystalline structure that acts like a molecular trap. Through ion exchange and absorption, it selectively grabs positively charged toxins, heavy metals, ammonia, and other unwanted compounds while letting beneficial minerals stay put. Then it escorts them straight out of your system through your gut. Paired with folic acid, it also supports healthy mineral transport and cleaner internal environment. Users report feeling lighter, more balanced, and clear-headed with consistent daily use. Just one dose a day gives you 60 full servings of detox support. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't steer you wrong. You know that. If you love our methylene blue, if you love our bolivine colostrum, if you love the other incredible products like our T3 iodine, you are going to love this Zeolite Detox Formula. Secure yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you haven't checked out the other supplements like our methylene red that's proprietary to us, our ultramethylene blue that is on record the strongest and the best, then check it out today. And while you're there, check out the widest selection of Patriot apparel, baseball caps, t-shirts, hoodies, you name it, to spread the word of freedom in America and worldwide. Bottom line, thanks for keeping us on the air over the years. We're facing some of the biggest challenges ever to stay on the air. But thanks to you standing with us as our partners, the InfoWar, we are stronger than ever. So thank you so much for your support. Now please visit thealexjonesstore.com today. And if you want to get massive discounts on all the supplements, sign up as a subscriber, lock in your orders in the future. You can cancel any time, so all you're really locking in is the massive discounts. Same thing with VIPs, cancel any time, $30 a month, get $40 to spend in the store, special deals, special offers, special sales on everything. So if you're buying anything at thealexjonesstore.com, you should be a VIP. Thank you so much for your support. Now secure your Zeolite formula now at thealexjonesstore.com. I know you're the big health guy. You're way better shape than I am. Don't kick my ass. I've seen you working out with the Liver King. You say you've taken methylene blue before. I want you to take our medical grade. It takes 30 minutes to kick in. So good for your body. I'd like you to drink this, Jay. You said earlier it would. I appreciate it. I want to get your true review. If it doesn't work, tell me. Here it is, brother.
Cheers.
Looks just like the stuff from Dune, the water of life. He's drinking the juice of a strangled, drowned sandworm right now. Baron Harkonnen is not happy. We're going to see what happens.
20 minutes later.
I feel like my brain is clearer and working faster. It feels like my brain and my energy have had the accelerator hit on them. I felt it in my brain and my energy.
Well,
I like it. I'm going to get me some before I leave.
We're going to give you a couple bottles of it, bro. We love it. It's amazing. Get yours now, thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Again, Trump does seem to be making some moves on the domestic front, which is good to see. Personally, I just think it's a little too late, is all. Which is, you know, which is good. I mean, he should be doing it. He's absolutely be doing it. I'd like to see a hell of a lot more of it. And of course, the Republican Party is just as, well, ridiculous and horrible as ever. So, you know, I've got videos of John Thune just rattling off a series of excuses as to why we're not passing the SAVE Act, but they are, you know, tabling the Dignity Act in the meantime. Totally absurd. And so, of course, it's not a coincidence. Shouldn't be a matter of inquiry, it's pretty obvious what's caused the collapse in support of the Republican Party to the extent now that they say for the first time the polls show that the Democrats will take the Senate, not just the House. A new Reuters Ipsos poll shows that Donald Trump's approval rating has fallen to 34%, the lowest of his current term. The drop is driven by public dissatisfaction with the rising cost of living and the U.S. conflict with Iran. And so you can, of course, sort of track this over time. And apparently he was, you know, more, he had more approval than disapproval, I guess, for like the first week of his administration, his second administration. But ever since then, it's gone absolutely down. And you actually see a, like, this is a Biden style jump right there. That's type of jump that you get when you're rigging an election, right? You get that F-shaped jump, but that's the Iran war. That's him starting the Iran war, and you see a massive drop in approval and massive spike in disapproval, practically straight up and down because of just how unpopular that particular agenda item was, and of course, it's not getting any better. So now it seems like in a act of desperation, they're trying to act like they're doing something, anything, to help the American people, and we'll see. We'll see to... You know, who knows what's going to come of it. But this is almost especially like annoying right now and devastating right now, because right now is the time when if things had gone right, like just imagine the other timeline, would you? Imagine the timeline where that first week of Donald Trump's administration continues at a pace. Can you imagine? Do you remember they started off the administration with the flood the zone strategy? And the idea was they were going to be doing so much stuff at such a rapid clip that the lamestream mainstream media wouldn't even be able to keep up. And by the time they learned about one thing and started complaining about that, you'd be doing something else that they hated even more. That was a good strategy. That was the only week that he had a positive approval rating. And it's gone downhill since then. So imagine the world where Donald Trump just unapologetically reassigns a portion of the military to massively deport every single illegal alien that arrived since 2016. Just what if? I think we could do it. I know all of the excuses as to why we can't do it are all fake. So there's that. Like, we don't have resources. Bullcrap. We don't have the manpower, bull crap. We don't have the will, bull crap. It's what you got elected on. So just imagine a world where DOGE systematically eliminates billions upon billions upon billions of dollars of funding for left-wing groups, where deportations happen at a rapid pace, so rapid, so overwhelming that protesters are like afraid to go protest or can't even keep up with it. By the time they arrive in one place, ICE is in another. Because all the illegals are gone out of this neighborhood. I mean, just imagine if really we'd hit the ground running, foot to the pedal, pedal to the floor, gung-ho for the last year. I mean, imagine what we could have accomplished. Imagine if he'd used the same tactics to pressure universities to stop hating white people or disparaging men and to stop discriminating against white people and actually, you know, fulfill the mandate required by their foundation and funding from the federal government. Imagine a world where Donald Trump and his administration and the Republicans along with him put all of their effort and all of their energy and all of their unbelievable power into helping the American people and just systematically solving all of the problems that we have. I can imagine a world like that. I did when we elected Donald Trump. I imagined how it could be. And then unfortunately we had this little hiccup. This little caveat, okay, this little asterisk next to everything Trump did called Israel and the Jewish lobby, and we just can't get anything done, and it sucks, but that's where we are. And again, the reason this sucks especially bad is because the left wing right now is still very much in shambles. Now, they still poll really well, and again, like I said, things like the Texas Senate race is now showing that James Tallarico, a ridiculous fraud, like insane snake oil con man, crazy, anybody even looks twice at this guy, but okay, maybe he's going to win the election now because of how badly Trump and the Republicans have done with the mandate that we gave him with the full House you know, royal flush that we gave them with the House and the Senate and the Supreme Court and everything. So is this really gonna make up for it? Going after James Comey for something that you should have gone after him for last year? Like, I can imagine a world where Trump actually did everything that he wanted to do, and in that case, we'd be cruising into 2026 just racking up wins, you know? Be like that feeling after you hit the jackpot on the whatever it's called. You pull the lever and the thing spin. What is that called? Why can't I think what's that called right now? Crew, what are those things called? Tell me right now. They don't know. They've never heard of them. A prize wheel. He just said prize wheel in my ear. I'm not moving on until I find out what the term is I'm trying to say. The crew doesn't know. Crew doesn't know. The audience is yelling at their TV right now because we don't know what the word is, where you put the coin in and you pull the lever. Slot machine. Thank you, crew. The slot machine. We'd be sitting here like we just won the jackpot in the slot machine and the coins are just spilling out. The coins in this metaphor are the Democratic voters that are coming over to us because after a year of insanity from the left as they're pulling their hair out about everything Trump has done successfully, and they're sitting there going, my traffic is less, my rent is less, food is less expensive, gas is less expensive, he stopped all of these wars, there's no traffic anymore because he got rid of all these illegal aliens, my kid isn't getting beat up at school anymore, the school scores are going up. This is amazing. I can't believe I ever doubted this man. I guess he was right all along, and I guess the Republicans were right, and I'll be voting Republican from now on. We'd be sitting here just going, welcome to the party, water's fine, come on in. Instead, we're at each other's throats. Half the Republican Party now are just not Republican, and they admit it, like Alan Dershowitz, who's just like, yeah, I joined the Republican Party, even though I'm still a Democrat in every possible conceivable way. I am pro-Israel first and foremost, so I'm joining the Republican Party on that note alone, but I still am basically a diehard socialist communist and will continue to support those things. I just care about Israel more than I care about America. I mean, that's, and I'm only kind of not quoting him exactly, that is pretty much exactly what he said. That's exactly what Sergey Brin now says. He's now joined the Republican Party, apparently. Now, all these people despise the Republican Party. They despise everything it stands for. They say that themselves. In their announcement where they say that they are becoming Republican, they say, we're not actually Republican. We don't actually believe these things. We just do it out of convenience for the sake of Israel. So that's who we're getting. Meanwhile, we're losing the MAHA moms and all the people that came over, the libertarians that came over, the Bitcoiners that came over, the entire coalition that got Trump his presidency has all been systematically eliminated, replaced by Israel first scumbags. And this is at a time when Democrats are still in absolute shambles. If we had kept our eye on the ball, and if Donald Trump had served the American people and not Israel, we would be a one-party state at this point. I mean, we wouldn't be worried about anything. Again, we would be cruising towards massive re-election. It'd be the one time that it bucks the trend. Like, I think part of it is Trump just sort of accepted. He was like, yeah, and he says it all the time. Any interview you see where he talks about the midterms, he's like, well, the midterms always flip the House. Like, he just like accepts that as a rule. So it's almost like he just is like, yeah, so it doesn't matter. That always happens. It's like, that didn't have to happen. That absolutely didn't have to happen. If you'd done the right thing, it wouldn't have happened. So I'm not going to tell you to vote for or against the Republican Party. I'm just saying the vast majority of people who were motivated to vote in 2024, they ain't motivated anymore. And going after the SPLC for funding the KKK is not going to win anybody over. Especially if it doesn't come to fruition and is kind of a shaky case to bring in the first place. Let's go to clip number 5 here. This is Glenn Greenwald explaining the lack of, meat on the bone when it comes to this SPLC indictment. Let's watch.
The basic idea is that the Southern Poverty Law Center, while claiming to combat hate groups and white supremacy, was actually paying people in these groups, either to join the group or who are already in the group, to serve as their informant. their eyes and ears. You know, it's kind of like when the FBI uses informants in a drug gang or a terrorist group or whatever. And the informant's there for whatever reason. He's getting paid. He got caught committing an unrelated crime and they're promising leniency, or they planted him there. He actually went to a mosque or went, you know, to the drug trade specifically with the intention of infiltrating it as an informant. So it seems very clear, because even the Southern Poverty Law Center admits that they were paying people inside these groups, including the planning of the Charlottesville rally that caused so much allegations about Donald Trump and about the right-wing movement, because it ended in a vehicular homicide of a woman who was protesting, counter-protesting the rally. And the Southern Poverty Law Center was paying people in the Ku Klux Klan, in these white supremacist groups, as part of the Charlottesville rally, to be their informant. Paying people to be your informant is not illegal, nor is it really considered untoward. It's an important part of investigative work. Whether a activist group should be paying informants, I think I could argue both sides of that, but it's not criminal. That part is not criminal. What the indictment has to demonstrate is what the FBI is trying to argue, what Kash Patel is publicly alleging, which is that it wasn't just that they were paying informants, they were funneling money to these groups and basically fueling them or supporting them or even at times directing them when they were telling the public they were combating these groups and collecting money on that basis. I do think that one of the main problems with these activist groups, I've talked about this before with LGBT groups, like mainstream gay rights groups, like the Human Rights Campaign and GLAAD, is that the NAACP, same thing, is that they are highly motivated to ensure that the problem or the threat that they claim to be combating remains strong. Because if racism is not a major force in American life, or if homophobia is not a major force in American life, then you don't need these groups anymore. The donors will stop giving, the jobs will dry up, might as well just close the doors. But also, you can go back. Alex Jones and other people on the right, I think Mike Cernovich is one another, were warning people, don't go to Charlottesville. It's a trap. There's feds there. There's informants there. It's designed to demean and put into and to discredit this movement against immigrants or whatever. And they turned out to be right. In fact, I think Alex Jones actually said that the Southern Poverty Law Center was involved in a lot of these groups. So there is something deceitful about it. Whether it's criminal is going to depend on whether the government can prove that the intent really was not to combat these groups, the KKK and white supremacist group, but to strengthen them.
Which, again, I think it's going to be hard for them to prove that. And of course, I think the most important part about what he just said is the fact that these groups have to have the thing they're fighting in order to exist. And now I'm wondering where to go from here, because I was going to go into more immigration stuff, since SPLC is a lot about immigration and we're talking about that. But I also want to get into just all the clips I have of the left, you know, reacting negatively to their own positions, which is crazy, which I think goes along directly into this, since just all of the left is just a series of frauds, like just fraud on top of fraud. It's fraud helping frauds get away with other frauds. I mean, it's just crazy. And the SPLC is one of these organizations where it's like they manufacture the supposed hate that they fight. They use that supposed hate to get money from donors or from the government, and then they use that money to either buy off politicians and, you know, just keep the cycle going, or create more hate crimes and keep the cycle going that way. The entire Democratic apparatus exists primarily founded on a series of hoaxes, and they're long existing hoaxes. And we've explained this before many times, especially when it comes to Donald Trump. And the example I always use is when January 6th happened, and I was talking to a friend of mine, and he was like, well, this is what Trump does. He calls for violence. Do you remember what happened during the campaign in 2016? So we're in 2021, and he's referencing lies about Trump from 2016, because that's the foundation. Because every lie that he hears about Donald Trump piles on top of all the other lies he hears about Donald Trump, to where you can go through and systematically like remove each one of those lies. At the end of the day, the structure is not really going to change. You'd have to literally go through all of it. And even then, it doesn't really matter, because what's happened is he's already absorbed the understanding, the holistic, you know, comprehensive understanding that Trump is a bad guy who calls for violence. Because he's seen the examples of it so many times. And again, you go through systematically and go, he wasn't calling for violence here. This wasn't him calling for violence. Here's where the left was attacking his people when they attacked back. They were defending themselves. You could go through systematically and prove that every single instance But will that make a difference? Will they go, oh my God, everything I believe was a lie. He's never called for violence. I'm the bad guy. Like that just doesn't happen really ever. So the SPLC, I mean, Charlottesville, how much has been piled up on Charlottesville? Now, the way it should work is that if you've got the Biden presidential campaign built on Charlottesville, and you've got the Nazi nonsense built on Charlottesville, and you've got the censorship on the internet, Parler like being deleted from the internet, I guess that was January 6th, but if you've got all these things piled on top of it, you would think that removing that foundational brick, moving that keystone, would make everything else crumble. But it's this amazing anti-gravity construction that the Democrats have where you can remove that bottom block and everything just maintains. It just stays the same. Even though everything up there is predicated on this thing, this thing's a lie. It should mean all that rest stuff is fake, but it doesn't matter. But it doesn't matter to them. So that's just how it is. This is how it goes. So again, you can prove incontrovertibly that the SPLC is the source of every piece of racism that they've ever heard. It doesn't matter to them. They don't care. They don't care. Okay? So just understand what we're dealing with here is a decade worth of psychological operations, all as fraudulent as this, right? All of them have organizations like the SPLC backing it and making people insane and, you know, pushing lies and being treated like respected authorities by the mainstream media. It's all completely ridiculous and absurd. Let's go to some of these Greg Bovino clips. Let's go first to clip 60. This is an interview from Lauren Witzke with Greg Bovino, the head of the Border Patrol who was forced to retire recently. Here's Lauren Witzke asking him a very important question about the impact of migration to this country. Let's watch.
You want to be a part of what makes America great. It should cost you something. These people are coming in. They're just, yeah, like we saw with the Somalian fraud in Minnesota, like they're parasites and they don't care.
Sure.
These people do not care. Do you feel that like the people you encounter when you were deporting, are these people that loved America and want to be a part of America? And they're, you know, I hear that all the time. They're like, oh, well, you know, they have a right to be here just the same as I. No. Like, do these people care?
Absolutely. You're really hitting the nail on the head. It's lost in this overall conversation, and I'm glad you touched on it. It's that culture. It's our culture. Our culture is at stake here. And when you bring that many from another culture that don't care about your culture, you've got a problem. And you ask me, do we see that? So we saw that on the ground in every single city we were in. Why someone would come out and fly a foreign flag in the streets to protest or whatever they were doing when immigration officers were there is beyond me. Yep. But what that did do is it let me know that there's something else afoot here, and our culture is definitely in jeopardy by those hundreds of millions of foreigners that, as you say, don't care about your culture. They don't care about your history, your customs, values, beliefs, whatever. They don't care. You know, Edward and Lauren, maybe your grandfather died at Iwo Jima, your great-great-great-grandfather died at Gettysburg, or I don't know, maybe even an ancestor died at Kings Mountain in the Revolution. Do you think they care about that? Do you think those hundreds of millions of illegal aliens here care that your ancestors gave everything for this country? I'm not seeing that. I'm seeing...
They don't even bother to learn our language.
Well, some of them want a new Gettysburg.
Exactly.
Yeah, they don't even care.
They wouldn't even know. And they don't care that your grandfather died at Iwo Jima or Gettysburg, or who the founding fathers even are, they don't care. And I think, to me, that is a greater threat to our society and to what we have going in America that we built, that Americans built. Let me say that again. Americans built that. You know, there's an argument creeping in.
Migrants built this country.
Yes, absolutely not. Americans built that. Settlers built that. So we need to keep it that way because there is a large percentage of individuals, again, that don't care. That, to me, is a greater threat than a violent criminal.
And you have to understand, the thing about them not caring, you don't have to care about them either. Okay? It's a sign of disrespect. If somebody wants to come to this country and genuinely appreciates it and genuinely wants to be an American, we can make a deal. I mean, America is a land of immigrants. Whether we like that or not, that certainly is the case. But not 100 million immigrants in a population of 300 million. That's utterly unsustainable. And you have to come here with respect and admiration for our country. That is just an obvious bare minimum requirement. And all you have to do is put yourself in their shoes. Would you, as an American person, go to another country that you despise? Would you disparage their heroes? Would you try to tear down their statues? Of course you wouldn't, because you're a decent person. These people will, because they're not decent people. They don't deserve your respect. They don't deserve your compassion. They're just your enemy that thinks you're stupid and is taking advantage of you. So just learn that lesson and understand they don't care. They actually hate it. They actually hate you, and they actually are trying to replace you on purpose because they're bad people. Obviously, America wasn't built by immigrants, whatever that means. What they mean is by non-white people. It's why this country was built by Somalians, except, and this is the thing that you have to understand, the influx of migrants is extremely recent. I mean, up until like the 80s, places like El Paso was still like 86% white, okay? El Paso, which is like 5% white now. So, like, to say that this country was built, this country pretty much only accepted white people until 1965. Anything that's been built by migrants, you know, really is from 1965 on, 1970 on, which everything has sucked, by the way, since then, as far as I can tell. But then the really absurd thing about it all is they're saying this about people that are arriving today. This is the real absurd thing you need to understand when they say this. When they say immigrants built this country, they're saying that in advocacy of people who have never been to the United States and arrived yesterday and arrived to a country they've never been, where their ancestors have never been, and they look around and say, I built this. We built this. They've never even been here. But the really, really important thing to understand is that this is only possible in a country that has already been stripped of its identity, that refuses to be confident in itself, that refuses to celebrate and uplift its own identity, its own character, its own culture. We have allowed our culture to be diminished and denigrated and mocked and crushed to the point where, of course, people don't respect it. We don't respect it either, which you're going to miss it when it's gone, is all I'll say. And again, my favorite example, because it's so visceral and real and annual at this point, is the fact that Mexicans shoot off fireworks on Christmas Eve, which is great for them. If I'm ever in Mexico, I'm sure I'd love to see it and it'd be a lot of fun. But that's not what we do here. But they don't care. They don't care. The way we celebrate Christmas is very quiet. It's very wholesome. It was the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. It's quiet. It's peaceful. It's calm. And then the Mexican neighbors down the street, it's like, oh my God, they are destroying our traditions. It's destroying our traditions, and there's no respect for the culture and practices and, you know, religious circumstances here. It's just an imposition, because screw you, you're an American, you're trash. And that's the feeling that we have allowed them to adopt, because it's the feeling that we have adopted ourselves. On the other side, we'll talk about celebrating our culture and uplifting American culture and reminding everybody of why American culture is, bar none, the best in the world.
Here at the InfoWars studio in Austin, Texas, there's not a single desk, workstation, or studio where you can't find a half-empty product from thealexjonesstore.com. That's because we all put our money where our mouth is. And you too can be confident that you're putting into your body the absolute best supplements, nootropics, drink mixes, and tinctures that money can buy. So to all of you who are on the fence about ordering from thealexjonesstore.com, what are you waiting for? And to all of you who've made the commitment, we here at InfoWars salute you, and we'd like to say,
thank you for your support.
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 Thank you for your support at thealexshowstore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.